Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined as always by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how you doing?
Worse than last week, or worse than our previous episode, Chris, because I'm not eating a tiramisu anymore.
Oh, no.
I've exhausted my tiramisu supplies. I'm very upset.
I enjoyed watching you just slowly munch away through a tiramisu with a spoon. What a lucky boy.
I am disgusting. I really am disgusting. But it's all go in the Donaldson household, Chris. I'm moving house this week. Everything has to be boxed up. All the computer equipment that I'm using right now has to be boxed up. So once I finish this, everything's going in suitcases. Everything's going down on the M25. I'm going to be stuck in traffic for about 3 days. And hopefully we'll get there at some point. A normal diet of cholera, like that video game from the 90s.
Oh God! Well, in Japan, when you move house, right, you get these moving companies that are formidably like incredible. They take care of everything. They like gift wrap every item of furniture, every item you possess, and have like a team like put it on a van and drive slowly down the road. It's supposed to be. I haven't ever done it, but it seems to be this incredible process. And I've seen a lot of YouTubers in Japan do it. What are you doing? Is it? Have you got a team, or is it just you throwing it in the back of a truck and driving down the road?
A mate rented a truck, and it's all going to be us. We are so stupid. It's all going to be us. Ridiculous.
Why didn't you hire? If you can afford a tiramisu for breakfast, why didn't you hire a team? Why didn't you hire a company?
Because it was like a grand and a half, and I was like, that is just teeing the pee.
What about the stress from moving? It would take off a lot of stress, wouldn't it?
True. Well, I've still got to pack it up. So even if like the removal van people came, I mean, all they'd be doing is putting it onto their own van. So I can do that bit. It's just, it's whatever you do when it comes to moving house, it's always going to be very stressful, no matter what you do.
That's true. It's not entirely fun, is it? I have a rule where I try and stay in one apartment for 3 years or more in Japan.
Yeah.
It's just not fun. And
it's very stressful.
I had another rule where I wouldn't buy things to put in the apartment. I'd try not to accumulate things because, there's that sort of sense of I'll probably be moving again soon. But fortunately, this most recent time, my apartment's absolutely packed full of crap now. Books, DVDs, lights, equipment, lenses, pictures and photos and teddy bears and toys and trinkets. It's going to be a fucking nightmare to clean this damn apartment up. Oh, God, I'll just leave it here. Just leave the apartment. Just leave everything in it. I think that's why they don't rent out to foreigners in Japan, to be honest. Flight risk. We got a story from Pierce, who says, this is the title of the story is the literal ups and downs of my first trip to Japan. Greetings, Chris and Pete. Your recent stories about first-time trips to Japan have me reminiscing about my own introductory romp across the land of the rising sun in 2018. Halfway through my trip, I had an experience just outside Hiroshima, which ended up being the climactic peak of my journey, a race against time and a battle with the elements of the Shimonami Kaido. Fantastic. The Shimonami Kaido is the chain of islands across the inland sea. Beautiful place to cycle.
Right.
Got to do it. I've been looking forward to tackling the Shimonami Kaido cycle since the first day I arrived in the country, and at last, my day of reckoning had come. Unfortunately, due to some unforeseen obstacles, I didn't find myself on the ferry with my rented bike in hand until noon. Oh, it's a bad move. It takes at least 9 hours to cycle. You typically, you should start cycling the Shimonami Kaido at like 6 a.m. any later than that and you're screwed. So just to set the scene, Pierce is screwed. Shrugging it off, I carried on my way, a blissful smile on my face. Little did I know what was to come. Setting off on my ride, I was stunned and amazed by the absolutely spectacular views. In this respect, the Shimanami Kaido didn't disappoint. I meandered this way and that, deciding early on to venture away from the express route, oh God, and end up inadvertently adding 15 kilometres to my path. It was a beautiful day and I was enjoying the cycle very much until it wasn't a beautiful day. At around 3:30 in the afternoon, about two-thirds of my way across the strait where my bicycle had to be returned by 5 o'clock, it started to sprinkle and then sprinkle very quickly and turn into a torrential downpour. There was no time for scenic views. I had to bike fast. Unfortunately, the latter part of the course seemed to be increasingly difficult as I went along. It is. Oh, God. This is terrible. Forced onwards by an incredible fear of having to deal with the police through the language barrier should I fail to return my bike in time. I carried onwards, my legs burning like the pits of hell, and the rest of my body freezing from the unrelenting rains and wind. After what felt like a Herculean effort to reach the finish line, I firmly believed towards the end that I was going to make it. Unfortunately, as I descended the ramp on the other side of the final bridge, I realised there was still a fair trek left to the station, and I ended up making it there 20 minutes too late. As I wandered aimlessly along the station, exhausted and tired, with no one in sight to ask for help, I eventually heard a voice call out over my shoulder. I turned around and there, amongst the endless sea of locked up bicycles, was an elderly Japanese man beckoning me to have a word with him. I sheepishly pulled out the rain-soaked paperwork for my rental, did my best to Japanglish my way into explaining I was late for my return. He let out a heavy sigh. Follow me. I felt like a child showing up late to turn in their wrinkled, rain-swept homework. At first, I had to assume this man owned the rental office. He led me across the street, but soon realised he could have been anyone. As he entered the building via a spare key from under the floor mat outside the house, within a few minutes he returned with another set of paperwork, and a few signatures later he gently took the bike from my hands. "Okay," he said, and he bid me on my way. Oh, never in my life did I feel such relief. "Domo, arigato gozaimasu," and bowing repeatedly as he shooed his hands away at me, as if to say, "Fuck off." I shuffled my way through the rain, savouring each and every drop on my face along the path back to Imabari Station. Here was someone, a total stranger, willing to take 5 minutes of his time I needed in order to spare myself a run-in with the police from my own ignorance and mishandling of a nice day out. The experience left me with a profound sense of gratitude and humility, which I pondered on the train by back while cramming 4 piping hot onigiri down my mouth with some strong zero. All the best, guys. Be careful when doing the cycle. My girlfriend says you should definitely make a video about the Pug Cafe in Kyoto. All the best, Pierce. Wow. Epic tale of the Shimanami cycle.
Yeah, I mean, just do it. I mean, it sounds like he made great time in the end, Pierce.
I'm amazed the guy was, like, kind of angry. Like, it's quite rare for people in Japan to be angry like that, but I guess
he's
kind of inconvenient and stressful. Like, that must have been pretty awkward, though. The guy sort of being like, "Oh, for fuck's sake, why are you late?"
I don't think that the police would be called immediately. No. I think they'd give you a grace, wouldn't they? They'd give you a bit of grace.
Well, I don't know what you'd do. I guess you'd sort of just have to check into a hotel and then just take it the next day and pay a fine, right?
Yeah,
or like
yeah,
a phone
definitely.
Call. So I feel like you worried too much there, Pierce.
Get your bike. I'm going to ring up the guy. I've got your bike.
Got your bike. What a ridiculous reason that would be to get arrested and deported and kept a bike too long because he failed bike to cycle stealer. In the rain. Dear, oh dear. Well, if I was going to do the Shimanami Kaido cycle again tomorrow, the first thing you'd need is a lot of energy. And Burger King have released what's known as the Ugly Burger. And if you look at a photo of the burger, it is phenomenally ugly. What do you make of the Burger King Ugly Burger?
Well, I mean, what they've done is they've got the bread and it's kind of a chunky, misshapen kind of bun. And they've added cheese and I think onion to the top as well. And it looks nice. Like, the ugly beef, teriyaki ugly beef. That looks bloody delicious. I don't even think that's an official photograph as well by Burger King. I think that's someone's just taken it separately. It's beautiful. Lovely.
I mean, Burger King are pretty... I think Burger King burgers are better than McDonald's. There's no doubt about that.
Agree.
In like when I first got here, McDonald's had a campaign where they had like the jewelry burgers and they had like like these $12 burgers. It was closer to Shake Shack prices for a McDonald's burger. And they had all these like luxury ingredients like caviar and stuff on the burgers. Probably not very good caviar, albeit. But yeah, the Burger King Ugly Burger. The Burger King released a vegan burger last year. I think it was last year. Because I remember I hung out with Sharla and we did a video on Sharla's channel where she made me try one. And I was like, a vegan burger from Burger King? Are you mental? And it actually turned out to be really good. What's the name of that burger brand? Is it Beyond Burger? I think it's Beyond Burger, maybe?
Yes, Beyond Meat, yeah.
I think they did a collaboration and it was really good. Although it later transpired that while the patty was vegan, I think they cooked it in like non-vegan oil. So it was all a bit sketchy.
Right, okay.
We all got a bit buggered there. We got rumbled by Burger King. But yeah, this burger looks good. The ugly burger, they've got shrimp spicy, they've got teriyaki ugly beef, and they've got cheese ugly beef. But I don't know. I don't know why they thought ugly. Why is that a good concept? What about that?
It's kind of like our dirty burgers you get in like Kentish Town and, well, just London in general, like that kind of messy, sloppy looking kind of burger that has got like gravy on it and stuff. I've not had my tiramisu this morning, so it's making me very, very hungry, as we said.
To be fair, I do quite want one now. It looks like someone's tried to make a burger, they fucked up the proportion of the ingredients and they hit the burger with a hammer. And sort of made it like messed up, but I would still buy it. And what does that tell you about me? We've got another story this week. An English teacher arrested in Japan for smuggling cannabis oil inside hair treatment bottles. I hope they weren't Natsuki's special brand of shampoo. Whatever you do, rule number one, if you come to Japan, don't do drugs, don't bring drugs, don't do anything drug related, because you will either end up getting deported or B, end up in a jail for a long time, and it won't be fun. While cannabis has become, you know, widely accepted in countries around the world, still not the UK. We're getting there. Still not the UK, even though everyone and their mum does it. It's still, like, very bad to do it in Japan, and just don't do it. But some people can't do without it. And unfortunately, one American teacher in Tsukuba City in Ibaraki Prefecture, just north of Tokyo, helped smuggle some cannabis oil inside some hair treatment bottles. The 43-year-old English conversational school teacher was arrested in April at a hotel in Ibaraki Prefecture. He was found with 2 kilograms of cannabis oil hidden inside hair treatment bottles. He was suspected of receiving the parcel of smuggled goods at the hotel and planning to ship it out. A search for his home found 5 more kilograms of cannabis oil, which resulted in him being charged with possession with intent to sell. The value of the 7 kilograms comes to 280 million yen, $2.5 million, and it's suspected that he's part of a larger organization. What do you make of that, Pete? Cannabis oil.
I think there's probably 7 kilograms of cannabis oil reaching over $2.5 million. You do sort of think, is that because in Japan it's so rare that the prices are very, very high? it doesn't seem like a lot, 5 kilograms, does it? It must be.
what's the most common uses for cannabis oil?
I don't know. I mean, can't you vape it? I mean, you put it into pretty much everything, can't you? Because you can cook with it, you can eat it, you can smoke it, you can do whatever you fancy.
I mean, it's a topic that I've always found a bit ridiculous, right? Japan is a country where smoking is encouraged and drink lots more, keep drinking. And like this just seems very much at odds. I've spoken to a lot of Japanese friends about it over the years, and they sort of say, well, the main reason they don't do it is because the Japanese government can't tax it. The Japanese government makes a lot of money from taxing cigarettes and alcohol, right? Whereas weed, not so much. Although if they made it legal, maybe they could, who knows? But I feel the country would do a lot better if they did switch to having cannabis instead of bloody sake all day long. But I don't know. Who am I to say? It feels weird when you go to... I remember I was in Amsterdam about a year and a half ago and... It was about 2 years now. And inevitably, you know, it's everywhere. And I suppose London, right? Everyone does it on the street corners and whatever. There's barely a street in the UK where you can't smell it, and then you come here and it's
I think most countries that have it as a legal, you know, a banned substance, contraband, etc., I think they use the cannabis laws. They don't enforce the cannabis laws very stringently, but they do use it for a right to search people. Going after people's civil liberties. Quite a useful tool. One would suggest. I would say, but yeah, I mean, it is ridiculous when you see police constabularies in the UK tweeting out pictures of their haul that they found, and it's like literally just a few quarters of bloody weed. It's pathetic. It's a fucking plant. Put your knobs away.
Well, I mean, the thing that always I can never get my head around is how in Japan, and I haven't seen it recently, but I used to sit in bars and like a team from Marlboro would come in and walk around the bar and just give everyone free cigarettes, and it'd be a new flavour they're trialling, like menthol flavour or juicy strawberry cherry fucking cigarette flavour, and they'd be like, which one do you want? And you sort of pick a flavour and they just give it to you for free, and then they go on to the next person, just hand out cigarettes for free. Whilst we've got rid of all packaging in the UK, right? I think it's blank packaging now, isn't it?
I think so. I don't smoke weed.
You don't smoke
cigarettes. I don't smoke anything, mate. I don't smoke anything.
What would Natsuki say?
But I am a ritual abuser of alcohol.
We know all too well, Pete. We know all too well. But it's not going to change anytime soon. So sorry about that, guys. No. If you want to come to Japan, but you like cannabis, I think that's pretty much the end of those dreams. We'll be back in a minute after this break.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
And we're back with the fax machine. What have we got this week in the fax machine, Mr. Dawson?
We got a message from Chris in the fax machine. Hi, Chris and Pete. My name is also Chris, as if we don't have enough Chris's in the world. And I currently reside in Las Vegas, Nevada. I have a request and a question. On an almost daily basis, I think of Sapporo, the Sapporo video where Pete explains Shikan. I humbly request this sound clip be added to the Brunch Man website soundboard so I can listen to it when the desire strikes me. My question is Peter Shikan? That's not the question. Chris asks, what other ways are there to enter Japan long-term beyond being a student or a jet? Are there any sort of degrees to strive for to increase chances of landing a job in Japan? Thanks you both for the entertaining podcast I listen to every day whilst working freelance food delivery. Ooh, and the incredibly entertaining videos I watch at home. Chris, mind how you go on them roads, mate.
Absolutely. And I support the idea of having you shouting Chikan, pervert, onto the soundboard. I love that scene where you're looking through a telescope Whereas Natsuki calls it a horoscope over the city of Sapporo. I talked about that in the recent video, 12 Reasons Not to Move to Japan. There's plenty of jobs here. You can do anything, but it depends on your Japanese skills, right? If you want to work in real estate, you can do it, but you're going to need to be fluent at Japanese. If you want to work in IT, Japanese isn't as important. Fluency isn't as important. But there's a lot of foreign companies in Tokyo have English as their first language. So it depends, really. Most people I know end up working as recruitment consultants in Tokyo. Some work in IT. The lucky ones get to work on video game design. But most people do teach English. But teaching English in Japan, unless you're doing it as a sort of in a university, maybe in a more professional level, your time will be sort of limited to sort of 2 to 5 years if it's something like Jet or Interact. So bear that in mind. But yeah, I recommend going watching the 12 Reasons Not to Move Japan video because I did talk about it there. We got a question from Denton from Rhode Island. He says, hello, Pete and Chris. I'm planning my first trip to Japan. I found plenty of things that I can do to spend my days. But I was wondering, what are some ways to enjoy the nightlife when you don't drink? A lot of stories that I hear on the podcast involve excessive drinking, but I don't drink. Will I still be able to visit an izakaya and have a good time? What advice can you give me? Your sober listener, Denton from Rhode Island. Well, Denton, if you sit at the bar, you can get a free cigarette from Marlboro. They'll come in and they'll give you a strawberry menthol cigarettes for free and it'll be magical. No, there's plenty of options. There's plenty of options.
Yeah. Have a cup of green tea.
An izakaya pub.
Have an oolong in an izakaya. Have some Kalpis soda. There's loads of options. Orange juice, beautiful.
To be fair, oolong hai is really nice. It's a bit of like shochu mixed with oolong tea. It's got
oolong. This is not a let's drink alcohol bit.
It needs
Denton from Rhode Island is a bit of advice.
It's so good.
But oolong is nice. Oolong is delicious.
It's so refreshing. Kalpis is nice. There's non-alcoholic beer. Generally, I'd avoid that. You know, there's lots of options, but basically just Kalpis.
Just Kalpis.
That is on the menu more than any other drink, actually, for most sort of non-alcoholic drinks.
Melon
but
soda.
There's no shortage. Ooh. And the soda. You'll be fine.
Beautiful.
Honestly, there's no prerequisite when entering a izakaya in Japan to drink alcohol. The only time it might be a bit awkward is if you go to sort of a dive bar, one of those special sort of whiskey bars, and they're like, what do you want? And you're like, Kalpis, they'll probably throw you out the window. Other than that, you're fine. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it, Denton. Over to you, Pete.
We got a message from, not actually got a name here, but whoever it was, I'm sure, did a lovely message. Hey, Curious Chris and Palatable Pete. I enjoy the fact they've written palatable as if I belong on a pallet rather than I am palatable. I came across this video on YouTube and I wonder if you've seen this Japanese game show before. It's Takeshi's Castle on Speed. A game show like this still made. You should enter one and make a video on it. Love the show and your videos. Keep up the good work. And they've appended a little video of what can only be described as the wall of boxes. And it looks like it's been filmed about a million years ago.
It looks really good. Yeah, go on YouTube, type in wall of boxes, crazy Japanese game show, lol. That's the actual title of the video. It's got 155,000 likes, bloody hell. And it's a team of people just sitting on a wall of cardboard boxes and people have to sort of knock them off the boxes. It's no Takeshi's Castle, but it's thoroughly got an 80s look to it, hasn't it? This is definitely from the 80s. It must be.
Yeah, it's like they've got this tank that's firing sort of projectiles at this wall of boxes and everyone sat on the box. And I think, I presume for every question you get right, you knock the boxes below your opponent. But I'm just enjoying the main guy looks like a Japanese Philip Schofield with a nice tie.
Yeah, I'd highly recommend checking this out. Wall of Boxes, crazy Japanese game show. You won't be disappointed. This is Japanese TV at its best. If only it was still like it and not just a lot of people saying, wow, this food's delicious. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to the Abroad in Japan podcast at gmail.com. We'll be back in the next few days to do it all over again, guys, and keep an eye out for the third episode of Journey Across Japan, an episode in which we ride a horse, go in a cave with a horrible insect, crawl under the smallest Tory gate in the entire country, and stay at the biggest theme park in Japan. And it's a really, it's not your average theme park. It's certainly interesting. All that and more in the third episode. But for now, guys, have a good one.
Abroad in Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.